Easy. From what Persephone understood, many of these women had tried to speak out against Apollo via social media, blogs, even going so far as to tell their story to journalists. The problem was no one was listening. She was so consumed by her research, a knock on her desk made her jump. Persephone found Dimitri standing in front of her.
"How's the article coming?"
he asked. She glared and answered in a crisp tone, "Coming?" Her boss frowned.
"You know, if I had a choice..."
"You have a choice," she said, cutting him off. "You just tell him no."
"Your job isn't the only one on the line."
"Then maybe that's a sign you should quit." Dimitri shook his head.
"You don't quit New Athens News without consequences, Persephone."
"I didn't know you were such a coward."
"Not everyone has a god to defend them."
Persephone flinched, but recovered quickly. She was really starting to hate that people assumed she would ask Hades to fight for her. "I fight my own battles, Dimitri. Trust me, this will not end well. People like Kal, they have secrets, and I'll dismantle him from the inside out." A glimmer of admiration sparked within Dimitri's eyes, but the words he spoke next were a threat to her foundation.
"I admire your determination, but there are some powers journalism cannot fight, and one of those is money."
Chapter 6. Lovers Quarrel. On Friday, Persephone and Lexa found themselves standing outside an upscale penthouse in the Krissos district of New Athens. They'd rented a giant moving truck that Lexa had managed to park crookedly on the sidewalk and street.
"This isn't what I had in mind when I said I wanted to party, Persephone,"
Hermes pouted beside them. The god dazzled in gold, looking very much out of place beside Lexa and Persephone, who wore yoga pants and sweatshirts. Persephone had penciled him in for Friday after he'd helped her get into the Acropolis, but that was before Apollo had fired Sybil and took away her powers. "No one said you had to come," Persephone countered. The god of trickery had shown up at her apartment just as they were heading out to get the moving truck. He tried to argue that they had an agreement, a contract, and she couldn't back out, but Persephone shut that down. "One of my best friends was in an abusive relationship. She's getting out, and I'm going to be there for her. Now, you can either come with us, or you can leave. Your choice." Hermes had chosen to come.
"We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your brother," Lexa said.
"Blame him."
"I'm not responsible for Apollo's choices," Hermes argued. "And don't pretend like this wouldn't be more fun with alcohol."
"You're right," Lexa said. "Good thing I brought this." She withdrew a bottle of wine from inside a backpack she'd brought.
"Give me that."
Hermes snatched the bottle from her hands. Persephone's eyes widened. "Excuse me, aren't you driving tonight?" "Well, yeah, but that's for after." Except that somehow Hermes had already managed to open the bottle.
"I hope you have more in that bag," the god replied, "because this one's for the present."
Lexa snorted, and the door in front of them finally clicked. Sybil's voice echoed through the intercom. "It's open. Come on up." Hermes started forward, but Persephone put her hand out to stop him. "You can get the dolly."
"Why do I have to get the dolly? I'm carrying the wine."
Persephone took the bottle. "Now I'm carrying the wine. Dolly, now." Hermes' shoulders slumped as he relented and trudged toward the moving truck. He returned, wheeling the dolly. Lexa giggled.
"You look awfully mortal, Hermes."
The god's eyes darkened.
"Careful, mortal. I'm not above turning you into a goat for my own enjoyment."
"Your enjoyment?" Lexa cackled. "That would be the best thing that ever happened to me."
The three went up the elevator and were let out in the middle of Apollo's living room. Persephone wasn't sure how to feel at seeing the luxury Sybil had been living in the last few months since graduation. There was no denying being employed as an oracle was a lucrative job, and the goddess felt that seeing all this made Sybil's situation even worse. It made it tangible. She would be going from living in a high-rise penthouse with floor-to-ceiling windows, wood floors, stainless steel appliances, and the fanciest coffee machine Persephone had ever seen, to occupying her and Lexa's small apartment from now until the foreseeable future. Despite the extreme change in lifestyle, Sybil seemed in good spirits, almost as if moving out of this space was lifting a burden from her shoulders. She popped her head out of an adjoining room. Her blonde hair spilled over her shoulder in loose waves, her pretty, makeup-free face aglow. "In here, guys." They filed into her room. Persephone expected to find that it had more personality than the rest of the house, but she'd been wrong. Sybil's room was just as colorless. "Why is everything gray?" "Oh, well, Apollo doesn't like color," she said.
"Who doesn't like color?" Lexa asked, plopping down on Sybil's bed. "Apollo, apparently," said Hermes, falling on the bed beside Lexa. "We should trash the place before we leave. That would really piss him off."
Sybil paled, eyes widening. Persephone placed her hands on her hips. "You're the only one who would think that was funny, and the only one who would survive his wrath."
"You would too, Steffi. Hades would cut off Apollo's balls before he got within an inch of you. I'm tempted to do it just so I can watch."
"Hermes," Persephone said pointedly, "you are really not being helpful." The god pouted.
"I brought the dolly, didn't I?"
"And now you need to use it. Up, take these boxes down." Hermes grumbled but rolled off the bed, and Lexa followed. They stacked boxes on the dolly, and while Hermes took them down, Persephone and Lexa helped Sybil pack the rest of her life. Persephone enjoyed the task. Each box was a new challenge, and she liked to see just how much she could place in one box. When she was finished, she wrote a quick inventory on the side of the box to make unpacking easier. When Hermes realized what she was doing, he snorted, shaking his head. "What?" Persephone demanded.
"You're just as regimented as Apollo."
Persephone didn't like being compared to the god. "What do you mean?"
"Haven't you been paying attention to this place?"
He looked around.
"Everything in this place is arranged by type and color."
"I'm organized, Hermes, not neurotic."
"Apollo is disciplined. Ever since I've known him, he's been that way."
"If he's so disciplined, why is he so emotional?"
"Because Apollo takes pride in his routine, in the things he can create and execute, which means when he loses control, it's personal."
Hermes glanced at Sybil.
"Same goes for how he handles humans."
Once they were finished, Sybil left her key on the shiny granite countertop in Apollo's state-of-the-art kitchen, and the four piled into the moving van and left for the apartment. "You're not staying in the lines," Persephone said, holding onto the grab handle as Lexa drove down the street. "I can't see," Lexa complained, sitting up higher in the driver's seat.
"Maybe you shouldn't be driving," Hermes commented. "Does someone else want to drive?" she asked.
Everyone in the cabin was silent because none of them could drive. "Just keep a lookout for pedestrians," Persephone said.
"I'll give you 10 points if you hit someone," Hermes offered. "Is that supposed to entice me?" Lexa asked. Yeah, they're divine points." "What do divine points get me?" Lexa asked, as if she were seriously considering his offer. "A chance to be a goat," he answered.
Persephone and Sybil exchanged a look. "If you are wondering if I regret introducing them to each other, the answer is yes." Unloading Sybil's things took less than 30 minutes. Finding a place to put it was another story. They lined boxes up in the hallway, part of the living room, and Persephone's room, since she would probably spend most of her time in the underworld. Once they had everything moved, Hermes opened a bottle of champagne, grinning.
"Time to celebrate!"
"Oops," Lexa said, snatching at the keys to the moving truck. "Before we start, I have to return this rental." "I'll come with you," Persephone said.
"You just want me to drop you off at Nevernight."
Persephone's cheeks turned crimson.
"You're leaving us?" Hermes asked. "What happened to sisters before misters?"
Persephone rolled her eyes. Hermes, in case you haven't noticed, you're a mister.
I can be a sister,
he argued, more vehemently than she expected. If you don't come back, can I sleep in your bed? He called as she and Lexa left the apartment. Sybil's voice followed quickly.
No, you don't. It's mine.
I'll share.
Sorry, Hermes, but I've had one too many gods try to sleep with me.
Lexa's driving was a little smoother on the way to Nevernight, until she parked, pressing on the brakes so hard Persephone's body strained against the seatbelt. Outside, Persephone saw Makonnen, an ogre Hades kept employed as a bouncer for Nevernight, engaged in an argument with a woman, which was nothing out of the ordinary. People often argued with Makonnen and the other bouncers, hoping for a chance to enter the club.
That doesn't look good, Lexa commented, nodding toward the two.
No, it doesn't. The girl had her finger pointed at the creature's chest. That was one of Makonnen's biggest pet peeves, and a good way to get banned from the club forever. Persephone sighed and reached over the console of the truck to hug Lexa. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for the ride. She climbed out of the moving van. As soon as her feet touched the sidewalk, a chorus of voices called her name, and a couple of people broke from the line, ducking under red velvet ropes to approach her. Two ogres appeared from the shadowy entrance of Nevernight, flanking Persephone, and creating a barrier between her and the crowd, and she smiled at them. Hi, Adrian. Izio. Their expressions were serious as they peered down at her and said,
Good evening, my lady.
She realized she should have thought this through better, or at least called ahead to notify Hades' staff that she would be arriving soon. She could just see tomorrow's headline. Hades' lover arrives at Nevernight in rental truck, dressed in sweats. As she approached the entrance of the club, she overheard the woman.
I demand to see him this instant.
Persephone remembered saying something very similar to another ogre when she'd first come to Nevernight. It did not go well, for the ogre mostly. He'd put his hands on Persephone, an offense Hades could not overlook, and she never saw him again.
My lady,
Makonnen said, moving forward to block the woman arguing with him, but she pushed her way around him.
My lady,
she demanded with her hands on her hips. It was then Persephone noticed that the woman was a nymph. She had pale, milky skin, long white hair, and bright blue eyes that made her look ethereal. Even her lashes were white. A naiad, Persephone thought, which was a nymph associated with water. She was beautiful, but she also looked severe, angry, and exhausted.
Who are you?
She demanded. Persephone was surprised, but mostly because there were few people who didn't know who she was.
You dare speak to Lady Persephone in such a manner?
Makonnen's hands tightened into fists. It's all right, Makonnen. Persephone held up her hand to calm the ogre, who looked like he might just grind this woman's bones into paste at any moment. I am Persephone, she said. Am I correct in understanding that you wish to speak to Lord Hades?
I demand it.
Persephone's brow rose a little. What are your grievances?
My grievances? You want to hear my grievances? Where do I start? First, the apartment he put me in is a shithole.
Now she was confused.
Second, I won't work another minute at that hellhole of a fucking nightclub.
Persephone held up her hand to stop the nymph from talking. I'm sorry. Who are you again? The woman lifted her chin, and her chest rose as she spoke with misplaced pride.
I am Leuke, Hades' lover.
Persephone felt the color drain from her face, and shock settled deep in her belly. Excuse me? The nymph chuckled like she had said something funny. Persephone's fingers curled into fists.
Sorry, ex-lover, but it's all the same.
Ex-lover? She said through her teeth, tilting her head to the side.
You have nothing to worry about,
Leuke said.
It was so long ago.
So long ago that you forgot and introduced yourself as Hades' lover? Persephone asked.
Honest mistake.
You'll forgive me if I believe there was nothing honest about it. She twisted toward Makonnen. Please show Leuki to Hades' office. I'll see that he's along shortly.
Yes, my lady.
McConan bowed and added,
he's in the lounge.
Thank you, she replied warmly, though her whole body felt like ice. Persephone made her way into Nevernight. She went right up the stairs to the lounge where Hades made wagers with mortals seeking more from life. Love, money, health. It was these bargains that had both appalled and intrigued her. It led her to writing about the god of death, and eventually landed her in a contract with him. Euryale, a gorgon and gatekeeper to the lounge, waited outside. Persephone's first interaction with the blind woman had been hostile, as the creature had correctly identified her as a goddess based on smell.
Is Lord Hades in trouble?
Euryale asked. There was amusement in her voice, but also a hint of excitement as the goddess approached. More than you could ever know, Persephone answered. Euryale smiled, showing a set of blackened teeth. She opened the door without pause and bowed to Persephone as she passed.
He is in the sapphire suite, my lady.
Persephone stalked around the crowded card tables. The room was dark, despite a large chandelier overhead and several intricate sconces lining the walls. Persephone's first visit to the suite sealed her fate. She'd been enamored by the people and games. She'd reveled in watching the cards fly across the table, the ease with which men and women interacted and teased. And then she'd come to a poker table where she'd sat and met the king of the underworld. Even now, recalling how he'd looked up close for the first time made her stomach clench tight. He was a tangible shadow, built like a fortress, and he'd crashed into her life like a force of nature. She couldn't shake him, and in truth hadn't wanted to. From the moment she'd laid eyes on him, he'd ignited something inside her. It felt like fire, but it was his darkness calling to hers. She knew that now, felt it in her blood and bones, as she melded with the darkness in the room and found the passage that led to a series of suites where mortals waited to bargain with Hades. They were all named after precious stones— sapphire and emerald and diamond, each one decorated in the associated colors. They were beautiful rooms, offering a sense of grandeur, communicating to all who entered that if they played their cards right, literally, perhaps they too could obtain something just as extravagant. Persephone found the sapphire lounge, and when she entered, a man sat opposite Hades. The man looked to be in his early 20s. Persephone used to wonder how people so young could end up across from the god of the dead, but disease of any kind did not discriminate. Whatever he was here for made him defensive, because he turned in his chair to see who had interrupted his game and said,
"If it's him you want, you'll have to wait your turn. Took me 3 years to get this appointment."
Hades' gaze melded to her. Despite his elegant appearance, he was predatory. He sat with his back straight, fingers clasped around a glass of whiskey. To the untrained eye, he probably looked relaxed, but Persephone knew by his expression that he was on edge. Probably because of her. She didn't have to say anything for him to understand she was angry. Her glamour was failing. She could feel it melting away, revealing holes in her mortal facade. "Leave, mortal," she said. The command must have shaken the man because he wasted no time racing out of the suite. Persephone slammed the door.
"I'll have to erase his memory." "Your eyes are glowing," he smirked. "Who angered you?"
"Can you not guess?" she asked. Hades raised a brow. "I just had the pleasure of meeting your lover." Hades didn't react, and that made her angrier. She felt more of her glamour slipping away. She imagined how ridiculous she looked, a goddess who stood before one so ancient, unable to hold on to her magic.
"I see."
Persephone's voice shook as she spoke. "You have seconds to explain before I turn her into a weed." She knew Hades would have laughed if he believed she were any less serious.
"Her name is Leuki,"
he answered.
"She was my lover a long time ago."
She hated that she was relieved that he hadn't named someone else. "What is a long time?" He stared at her for a moment, and there was something behind his eyes, a living thing full of rage and ruin and strife.
"Centuries, Persephone."
"Then why did she introduce herself to me as your lover today?"
"Because to her, I was her lover up until Sunday."
Persephone's fists clenched, and suddenly vines erupted from the floor and covered the walls. Hades didn't even flinch. "And why is that?"
"Because she's been a poplar tree for over 2,000 years.
Persephone's brows rose. She hadn't expected that. "Why was she a poplar tree?" Hades' hands rested on the tabletop, and they curled into fists as he answered,
"She betrayed me."
"You turned her into a tree?" Persephone asked. Sometimes she forgot the extent of Hades' powers. He was one of the three most powerful gods in existence, and while each of his brothers became king of a respective realm, Zeus the sky, Poseidon the sea, and Hades the dead, they shared power over the earthly realm, which meant there was the potential that she and Hades shared powers. Apparently, one was turning people into plants. "Why?"
"I caught her fucking someone else. I was blind with anger. I turned her into a poplar tree."
"She must not remember that, or she wouldn't introduce herself as your lover." Hades stared at her for a moment. He hadn't moved from his spot at the table.
"It is possible she has repressed the memory."
Persephone started to pace. "How many lovers have you taken?"
"Persephone."
Hades' voice was gentle, but there was an undercurrent that said, "That's not a path you want to go down." "I just want to be prepared in case they start coming out of the woodwork." Hades was silent, staring. After a moment, he said,
"I won't apologize for living before you existed."
"I'm not asking you to, but I'd like to know when I'm about to meet a woman who fucked you."
"I was hoping you'd never meet Laoce," Hades said. "She wasn't supposed to be around this long. I agreed to help her get on her feet in the modern world. Normally, I'd pass the responsibility on to Minthy, but seeing as how she's indisposed..."
He glanced at the ivy on the walls.
"It's taken me longer to find someone suitable to mentor her."
Persephone stopped pacing and faced Hades. "You weren't planning to tell me about her?" Hades shrugged.
"I saw no need until now."
"No need," Persephone echoed, and the ivy on the walls thickened and bloomed. The room felt infinitely smaller. "You gave this woman a place to stay, you gave her a job, and you used to fuck her."
"Stop saying that,"
Hades said through his teeth. "I deserved to know about her, Hades."
"Do you doubt my loyalty?"
"You're supposed to say you're sorry," she snapped.
"You're supposed to trust me."
"And you're supposed to communicate with me." That's what he had asked of her. Why shouldn't he be held to the same standard? There was silence, and Persephone took a breath, feeling the need to brace herself for this question. "Do you still love her?"
"No, Persephone."
Hades' response was immediate, but he sounded annoyed that she would even ask. Persephone wasn't sure where to go from here. She was angry, and she didn't understand why Hades had chosen to hide his previous lover from her. It wasn't that she believed he had been unfaithful. It was that this was just one of several things that had taken her off guard this week when it came to Hades' life. She was starting to feel like she truly knew nothing about him. After another minute of tense silence, Hades sighed and suddenly looked exhausted. He came around the table and reached for her, his fingers twined into her hair at the base of her head.
"I hoped to keep all of this from you," he said. "Not to protect Laoce, but to protect you from my past."
"I don't want to be protected from you," Persephone whispered, the air between them growing thick with a different kind of tension. "I want to know you, all of you, from the inside out." He offered a small smile and cupped her face, the pad of his thumb brushing her lips.
"Let's start with the inside," he said,
and their mouths collided, his tongue twined with hers. He tasted like smoke and ice. His hands moved down her back and over her bottom, and he drew her to him so that she was cradled between his legs as he leaned against the table. Each flick of his tongue hypnotized her. The hard press of his erection against her stomach made her dizzy with lust. She held on to him, fingers digging into his tight muscles. She would be lying if she said she didn't need this. Not only had he left her aching and empty nights ago, but the stress of work was putting her on edge. She needed release. But she also needed Hades to understand. So she pressed her hands against his chest and pulled away. "Hades, I am serious. I want to know your greatest weakness, your deepest fear, your most treasured possession." His expression grew serious then, and he stared at her with an intensity that made her inside shudder.
"You,"
he answered, the pad of his thumb passing over her kiss-swollen lips. "Me?" For a moment she was confused, and then she realized what he was saying. "I cannot be all of those things."
"You are my weakness. Losing you is my greatest fear. Your love is my most treasured possession."
"Hades," she said gently, "I am a second in your vast life. How can I be all of those things?"
"You doubt me?"
She pressed her palm to his cheek. "No, but I believe you have other weaknesses, fears, and treasures. Your people, for one. Your realm, for another."
"See,"
he said very quietly.
"You know me already, inside and out."
His response made her sad because she knew it wasn't true. "I don't know you at all." He went in for another kiss, but she stopped him. "I just have one more question," she said. "When you left Sunday night, where did you go?"
"Persephone." She took a step away.
She knew. He didn't even need to answer. "That's when she returned, wasn't it?" Her anger was once again renewed. He had wound her so tight she hadn't been able to breathe, and instead of releasing the tension he'd built inside her, he'd chosen to leave, to help a former lover. "You chose her over me."
"It isn't like that at all, Persephone."
He reached for her. "Don't touch me." Persephone stepped away, lifting her hands. Hades' jaw tightened, but he didn't approach. "You had your chance. You fucked it up." His reasons for keeping Laocoon a secret didn't matter right now. The fact was, he hadn't told her. He'd done the opposite of what he'd asked of her, communicate. So the words she used against him next seemed more than fitting. "Actions speak louder than words, Hades." She vanished from the lounge. Chapter 7. Truce.
Hades' lover arrives at Nevernight in rental truck, dressed in sweats.
Persephone sat behind her desk at work on Monday, glaring at the article on her computer screen. She could be an oracle with the way she was able to predict headlines. If only she'd been able to predict meeting Hades' lover, too. Her mood hadn't improved over the weekend. Maybe that was due to the fact that she had yet to hear from Hades. She wasn't even sure she wanted to talk to him, but she had expected him to try to contact her, either manifest in her bedroom in the middle of the night to apologize or send Hecate, the peacekeeper. As the hours turned into days, Persephone grew even more frustrated with Hades, and the more she wanted to write about Apollo just to piss him off. The thought had occurred to her because the god of music was in the news today, having been selected as the chancellor for the upcoming Panhellenic Games. His christening was no surprise, as he had been given the title for the last 10 years. It was basically a designation Apollo paid for, since his money funded the entertainment, uniforms, and construction on a new stadium. It was just another example of Apollo's status. No one would want to believe that the god who gave them sports was also an abusive asshole.
She sighed and closed her browser, opening a blank document. She had another week to write the exclusive Demetrian Call had ordered. This was probably not the best time to begin, because every word she thought of to describe Hades was something angry and unkind. Frustrating. Thoughtless. Jerk. After a moment, she sighed and checked her mug. She needed more coffee if she was going to attempt this article. She left her desk and went into the break room. As her coffee brewed, Helen found her.
Persephone, there's a woman here to see you. She says her name is Leuke?
Persephone froze and looked at Helen. Did you just say Leuke? The girl nodded, her blue eyes wide. Persephone's frustration burned, and she clenched her fists to keep a handle on her magic. All she needed was to sprout vines in front of her coworker. What was Hades' ex-lover doing here?
Should I tell her you're busy? Helen asked. I'll tell her you're busy.
Helen started to leave. No, Persephone stopped her. I'll see her. Show her to an interview room. Helen nodded and returned shortly after she disappeared.
She's in three.
Thank you, Helen. The girl hovered, and Persephone took a breath. Yes, Helen.
Are you sure you're all right?
Just peachy, she answered. What else was there to say? She was being forced to write about her love life, a love life that was being threatened by a woman who just showed up at her job. Things were complicated. Persephone kept Leuke waiting. It was the woman's fault for showing up unannounced. When she finally entered the interview room, Leuke was standing by the window, and when she turned to face Persephone, the goddess was surprised to see that she looked worse than when she'd seen her yesterday. Yesterday she'd been exhausted. Today she looked filthy. Her string-straight hair was matted, and she was wearing the same clothes that she'd had on at Nevernight. Persephone also noted the tear stains on her cheeks, visible because of the dirt on her face. What are you doing here? Persephone asked.
I came to apologize, she said.
Persephone startled. That was the last thing she expected Leuke to say. Excuse me?
I shouldn't have introduced myself the way I did.
The words poured out of Leuke's mouth quickly, almost like she was berating herself.
I was angry with Hades. I mean, I'm sure you understand.
Leuke, Persephone interrupted her. You will forgive me if I don't wish to be reminded about how well you know Hades. Why are you here? The nymph pressed her lips together tightly.
Hades kicked me out and fired me last night.
Persephone just stared.
I know I don't deserve your kindness, but please, I have nowhere to go.
Persephone shook her head. What exactly are you asking of me?
Can't you talk to him for me?
She seemed to struggle saying those words. Why aren't you talking to him?
You don't think I tried? He told me I had to go. He wasn't going to risk losing you.
If he really meant that, he would apologize, she muttered under her breath.
Look, I know you don't want to hear this, but Hades is an idiot. He's probably thinking you want space, and the more he gives you, the better.
You're just saying that because you want me to ask him for your job back.
And my home, she said shamelessly.
Persephone lifted a brow. Didn't you call it a shithole last night?
It is a shithole, but it was my shithole, and it had a bed, she said, which was far better than the park bench I found last night.
Hindsight is 20/20, she thought. The two stared at each other for a long moment before Persephone asked, Why should I help you? You weren't even thankful for what Hades gave you. Plus, you cheated on him.
Because I'm an idiot, too. I guess I thought I had more leverage. Turns out I have nothing. I don't even understand this world. I barely made it here because crossing your streets are almost impossible.
She paused and looked away. And when she spoke again, her voice quivered.
Imagine waking up in a world that doesn't even resemble the one you left. It's frightening. It's the worst punishment.
Leuke's shoulders fell,
and Persephone suddenly realized she could relate to her more than she had wanted to admit. She'd been in a similar situation 4 years ago. She sighed and checked her watch. She couldn't believe what she was about to say. "Look, I have a few more hours of work left. You can hang out in the lounge until I'm off. I can't promise I'll talk to Hades today, but eventually. Until then, you can stay with me." Laoki's eyes widened.
Are you sure?
"You'll have to sleep on the couch," she said. "But, yeah."
"Thank you. Thank you, Persephone."
The goddess stiffened as the nymph threw her arms around her. After a moment, she pulled away.
"You won't regret this, I promise."
She sure hoped not. Persephone didn't return to working on the exclusive. Instead, she continued to research Apollo. At the end of the day, she copied everything she found into a Word document and emailed it to herself before gathering her things and retrieving Laoki from the lounge. Together, they left the Acropolis through the front, braving the waiting crowd to find Antony waiting outside Hades' black Lexus. He opened the door as they approached, smiling. "My lady," he said. Antony's eye became menacing as his gaze fell upon Laoki.
"What's she doing with you?"
Persephone's brows rose, and she looked from the Cyclops to the nymph. "You know Laoki?"
"Yes," he hissed. "Once a traitor, always a traitor."
Laoki rolled her eyes.
"Don't be dramatic."
"It's all right, Antony," Persephone interrupted. "I'm helping her." The Cyclops pressed his lips tight and said nothing as the two women slid into the back seat. Once the door was shut, Laoki looked at Persephone.
"Does that crowd wait for you every day?"
"Yes."
"All because of Hades?"
"Yes." The nymph looked out the window.
"That's insane."
"It is insane," Persephone agreed. "I hate it."
"When I was alive," Laoki said, "in ancient times, the gods were feared and revered. Their worshippers were serious about honoring their gods. It wasn't this false obsession."
Persephone grimaced. "Welcome to the modern world." Antony dropped them off at Persephone's apartment. Before he left, the Cyclops took Persephone aside.
"I'll have to tell him Laoki is with you. He will want to know."
She shrugged. "Tell him." Antony frowned.
"You'll talk to him soon, won't you, my lady?"
Persephone was surprised by his question. She wondered how much Antony knew about her fight with Hades. Her frown matched his. "I don't know," she said. "Probably. Right now, I'm angry." He nodded.
"I'll see you tomorrow, my lady."
She didn't say anything and turned to lead Laoki into the apartment, finding Sybil at the kitchen bar. She drew her forearm across her nose and started wiping at her face as soon as they entered.
"Sybil, what's wrong?"
"Nothing. Everything's fine."
But it was obvious she was lying. Her voice was thick and her eyes were red. Persephone peered over her shoulder to find a rejection email for a job.
"Sybil," Persephone said gently, placing a hand on her arm. "I knew it would be hard, but I don't think I realized how difficult. No one wants a god's discarded plaything."
"You are no such thing, Sybil," Persephone said quickly.
"That's not how the world sees it," she said. "My worth is equal to the desire a god had for me. It has been since my powers manifested. Now I don't even have those."
Sybil turned into Persephone and sobbed against her chest. The goddess stood there, soothing her friend. "It's going to be okay," Persephone said. "I'll help in any way I can. Let me talk to Hades. I'm sure they need more help at the Cyprus Foundation." She'd been so angry about Laoki, she'd forgotten to ask about openings.
"I can't ask that of you, Persephone," Sybil said, pulling away.
"You're not asking." She offered what she hoped was a comforting smile. Persephone introduced Laoce to Sybil and poured 3 glasses of wine. Persephone was starting to feel like she was running a home for displaced women. They sat in the living room, watching Titans After Dark and talking about life. At some point, the inevitable topic of Apollo made its way into their conversation, and the longer they spoke, the angrier they became.
"He's as horrible as I remember," Laoce commented.
"Oh, girl, you don't even know," Sybil said, as she took a drink from her glass. "He is so controlling. He punishes his lovers for being independent. It's pathetic."
"Can you believe Hades told me I couldn't write about him?" Persephone said.
"If you want to write about Apollo, you write about Apollo," Laoce said.
They were all on their 4th glass of wine. Despite this, Persephone expected Sybil to protest. Instead, she said,
"Get the laptop, Seth."
Persephone grinned and ran into her room to grab her computer. When she came back, she sat cross-legged on the sofa.
"Write this down," Sybil directed. "Apollo, known for his charm and beauty, has a secret. He cannot stand rejection."
"Oh, that's good," Laoce encouraged.
Oh, hold on," Persephone said, typing quickly, the words coming faster than her fingers would move. When she was finished, she read the piece aloud. "The evidence is overwhelming. I would have his many ex-lovers vouch for me, but they either begged to be saved from his wily pursuits and were turned into trees, or died horrible deaths as a result of his punishment."
"Yes!" Laoce cried. Persephone continued, adding the stories of Daphne, the nymph who was turned into a tree, and Princess Cassandra, whose accurate predictions were dismissed. "Cassandra cried that Greeks were hidden in the Trojan horse, but was ignored, which begs the question, how noble can Apollo truly be when he fought on the side of Troy, yet compromised their victory all because he was given the cold shoulder?"
"Gods, he's so terrible," Sybil said. "I don't know why I didn't see it before."
"He's abusive," Persephone said. "Don't blame yourself."
"You should say that in the article," Laoce said. "Apollo is an abuser. He has a need to control and dominate. It's not about communication or listening. It's about winning."
They continued like that for hours, until Sybil and Laoce could no longer keep their eyes open. With the two asleep on the couch, Persephone was pinned against the armrest. The pallid glow from her computer hurt her eyes, but she continued to revise what they'd written together. The result was a critical and slightly hostile article about the god of music. Persephone excluded Sybil's story, even though she'd contributed a few lines illustrating her own experiences with the god. She didn't want Apollo to retaliate against the oracle. The more Persephone read and reread the piece, the angrier she got. And before she could think it through, she composed an email to Dimitri and sent the article. She felt triumphant for all of 2 seconds before she scrambled from the couch, ran into the bathroom, and threw up in the toilet. "You are in so much trouble," she thought as she sagged against the bathroom wall. Her stomach felt like it was boiling, a combination of too much wine and guilt. "Apollo did this to himself," she thought, reminding herself why she'd sent the article. "He deserves this. This is about justice, about giving a voice to his victims."
What about Hades?
Her stomach lurched, and Persephone got to her knees just as bile rose to the back of her throat. She vomited again. Her nose and throat burned, and all she could taste was bitter, acidic wine. She knelt for a while, breathing through her mouth until she felt steady enough to rise to her feet. When she looked in the mirror, she didn't recognize herself. She looked more like a soul that had just arrived in the underworld, pale and shivering. "Hades kept secrets," she said aloud, as if that explained why she'd gone back on her word. "You kept secrets," she reminded herself as she rinsed her mouth and brushed her teeth. "You didn't tell him about Dimitri's ultimatum."
"That's different," she met her gaze in the mirror.
"How?"
"It was different because it was her battle. She hadn't wanted Hades' help fighting it."
"It's different because that secret won't hurt him," she said.
But the secret he'd kept about Laoce, it hurt. She didn't like the words that followed. They grew like menacing clouds, a storm of tormenting words in her mind. This will hurt Hades. She turned out the lights. Chapter 8. Abduction. When Persephone arrived at work the next day, the crowd outside the Acropolis had grown to include members of Apollo's cult, worshippers, and diehard fans. They were obvious because they wore wreaths of laurel in their hair and gold dust like war paint. Even from inside Hades' Lexus, Persephone heard angry shouts. "Liar! Apologize to Apollo! You're just jealous! Bitch!" Clearly, her article had been published. Antony looked in the rearview mirror at her.
"Would you like me to walk you to the door, my lady?"
Persephone stared out the window. Security had already approached the car and were prepared to escort her. Gods, what had she done? "No, Antony, that's all right." He nodded once.
"I'll return for you this afternoon."
When she left the car, she was thrust into a hostile and unfamiliar world. Everything was so loud, and she felt everyone's emotions, anger and hate, anxiety and fear. They weighed upon her chest, smothering her.
"Come, my lady,"
one of the security guards said. He stuck his arm out as if to corral her, but didn't touch her. She looked at him, blinking. "Did you call me my lady?" she asked. The guard blushed.
"It's not safe out here. Hurry."
She knew it wasn't safe. She could feel the violence of the crowd growing, and by the time she reached the entrance, part of the crowd had broken out into a fight. She was ushered inside and turned to watch as the officers took charge, dividing the throng and defusing the situation. "I don't understand. All of this over a few words I wrote." No one had gotten this angry when she had written about Hades, but she knew why. The god of the underworld was hardly beloved, just intriguing. Apollo was the literal god of light. He was a god of music and poetry. He represented all the things in life mortals wanted, including the darkness they never wanted to acknowledge. When she turned to head up the elevator, she found she was being watched by everyone on the first floor, the front desk receptionist, security, random employees. They stared at her, wide-eyed, and kept their distance. Maybe they were afraid Apollo would appear and strike her down. Whatever the case, she was glad to have an elevator to herself. The reprieve was short-lived, however, because the stares continued as she made her way to her desk. Helen was her usual chipper self, greeting Persephone and following her to her desk. The only indication she gave that she was aware of the backlash was when she informed Persephone that she hadn't forwarded any calls to her voicemail.
"I could take over your email if you'd like, just for the day."
"No, that's okay, Helen."
"Do you need anything? Coffee or a snack?"
Persephone thought for a moment. "Tylenol," she answered, "and some water."
"I'll be right back."
Helen returned a short time later. Persephone took the medicine and tried to concentrate on her work, which consisted of reading hate mail and staring at a blank document that was supposed to contain her exclusive. If she was being honest, she was on edge, waiting for Hades to slam his way through the doors of her workplace, gather her up, and carry her off to the underworld to be punished for her decision to betray him. At first, she was anxious about his potential arrival. But as time passed, she became more and more frustrated with the god of the dead. What would it take to get his attention? She got up and walked to the break room to make coffee. While there, she looked out the window. A crowd was still gathered outside the Acropolis.
"Your article is causing quite a stir."
Dimitri joined her. He turned on the television in the corner. The news was streaming, and the headline read, "Hades' lover attacks beloved god." She squeezed her coffee cup so hard the lid came off, sloshing hot liquid all over her hands. Dimitri took it from her and handed her some napkins.
"You think they could at least use my name?"
"You might not want them to," he said. "It's probably best they remember who you belong to."
Persephone glared at her boss. I don't belong to anyone.
Fair, he said. Poor word choice. I just meant that you'll want people to remember that you're with Hades because they aren't happy that you went after Apollo.
That was obvious, and no wonder. The news was particularly critical of her article.
She mentions 8 mortal women who apparently experienced abuse from Lord Apollo, but where are they?
She's only doing this because of her association with Hades. No other mortal would dare write this. Trash about a god.
Guess she didn't gain enough fame by sleeping with Hades. She had to go after Apollo, too. Is this the kind of fame you wanted, Persephone Rossi?
She felt sick and frustrated and a little hopeless. This isn't fair. They aren't even trying to fact-check, she said. He shrugged.
They're probably too afraid.
That's no reason to avoid it. Dimitri sighed.
No, but it's the way of our world. The vengeance of the gods is a real and feared thing.
The news continued bashing Persephone for her critique of Apollo, for the fact that she used 2 stories from antiquity to illustrate his horrid behavior, claiming that all gods in antiquity were different from who they are now, that change was possible and that Apollo should be forgiven. Persephone snatched the remote from Dimitri and turned off the television. They weren't eager to come to Hades' defense when I wrote about him, she said.
That's because Hades is supposed to be feared. He's supposed to be bad. Apollo, he's the god of music, the god of light. He's revelry and beauty. He's not supposed to be an asshole.
Well, he is.
You don't have to convince me, Persephone. You have to convince the world.
She shouldn't have to convince anyone, but instead of a world recognizing a psychopathic god, they saw one that had just fallen deeply in love. They equated his relentless pursuit of men and women as romantic, and those who rejected him as unworthy. It was fucked up.
Look, if you want my advice...
I don't, she snapped.
Persephone.
Dimitri seemed desperate.
Look, I know things haven't been good between us this week, but I don't want to watch you get bashed on national television for the next year.
Is that because of all the money you'll lose when people stop buying the paper to read my work? He glared at her.
It's not about money, he said. You want respect in this industry, and the reality is that you just lost a huge chunk of it. You want to climb that ladder, you can do one of 2 things. Apologize.
She glared at him so hard she thought she might melt him with her eyes.
Or write another article about Apollo. Find someone he's hurt recently. Tell their story.
Persephone frowned. I can't. Dimitri didn't respond immediately.
Maybe you can't, he said. And if not, you know what you have to do.
Your advice is shit, she told him. Her boss seemed genuinely hurt by her response, nearly flinching when the words left her mouth. But she didn't really care. He had gone from advocating and defending her to opposing and discouraging her. She thought he was a fighter. But when the going got tough, he rolled over. There was no way she was going to apologize to Apollo when he'd hurt one of her closest friends. There was also no way she would ask Sybil for an interview. That would mean exposing her to the scrutiny Persephone was now experiencing. She couldn't do that to the Oracle. She was rebuilding her life. Gods, this was such a mess. At lunch, Persephone broke one of her rules and chanced teleportation to the rooftop of the Acropolis for some much-needed air. She manifested herself on the edge of the roof. Her heartbeat pounded in her chest as she stumbled away. Once she recovered from almost falling off the side of the high-rise, she stared down at the vast city of New Athens. It was beautiful and terrifying up here. She could see the darkness of Hades' Tower, a shadow that split the city in half. The glimmering glass of Aphrodite's La Rose, the beautiful and unique facade of Hera's many hotels,
The Olympian, the Pegasus, the Emerald Peacock. There were other monuments, too. Marble statues of gods all over the city, and beautiful temples arranged on hilltops and mountainside cliffs. She'd been so enchanted with the city when she'd first moved here. She'd fallen in love with everything it promised. Endless possibilities, adventure, and freedom. It's what kept her going when things got difficult, when she felt confused and lost and unwelcomed. All the things she felt now. She searched for those promises amid the sprawling landscape, beyond the Acropolis and the angry crowd far below.
Persephone?
A voice asked. She whirled to find Pirithous standing behind her.
How did you get up here?
She opened her mouth to answer, but realized she didn't even know how this roof was accessed from the inside. Carefully, she managed to answer with a small smile, which Pirithous matched. What are you doing up here? She asked.
Sometimes I like to eat lunch up here.
It was then she noticed he was holding a lunchbox.
Want to share?
He asked. She shook her head. I'm not all that hungry, but I'll sit with you. His smile widened.
I'd like that. Come on, I know of a better place to sit away from the wind.
Pirithous led her to another part of the roof, blocked by a patrician where there was a set of chairs. The space overlooked the coast of New Athens, a line of pure white sand that met a foamy ocean of the deepest emerald. It was a breathtaking view.
Go ahead and sit, he said.
Pirithous opened his lunch and took out a sandwich and a bag of chips.
You sure you don't want any?
Yes, thank you. He took a bite and they looked out over the city. After a moment of silence, Pirithous prompted.
So, what are you doing up here?
She sighed and chose not to look at him when she said, I'm guessing you haven't seen the news.
Can't say that I have, he answered.
He was the only mortal she knew who didn't seem at all obsessed with the gods. Well, I messed up.
I'm sure it's not that bad.
She took a deep breath. I kind of chose to do something I promised Hades I wouldn't do because I was angry with him. And now I can't take it back.
Ah,
Pirithous offered a little laugh. He took a bit of his sandwich, talking as he chewed.
What did he do?
Something stupid, she muttered. I don't think he sees the problem with what he did. Pirithous smiled in his sad way. She got the sense that he understood her situation more than he wanted to admit.
They often don't, he commented.
I don't understand, he shrugged.
Men just don't think.
That is really a horrible excuse.
It's not an excuse, really, just a reality. All you can do is keep fighting for what you want. If he wants you, he will work to understand you.
She pursed her lips, feeling ridiculous. She knew now that she'd overreacted, but she hadn't been able to stop herself. She wanted him to feel as betrayed as she felt when she'd learned about Laoki. She wanted him to feel the frustration she'd felt with each passing hour that she hadn't heard from him. She'd wanted to defy him just to see if she could get a reaction. Am I being irrational? He shrugged.
Maybe, but emotions are emotions, he said. I have been the stupid boy before. I wish I had worked harder.
Persephone felt she understood the sadness that clung to this man. She wondered what Hades would see if he looked at his soul. What stupid thing did you do? He took a deep breath.
You will be surprised, I think, given your history.
Persephone's brows drew together, but before she could ask what he meant, Pirithous explained.
I gambled a lot. Not the kind of gambling your boyfriend does. I used to bet on the Panhellenic Games. I was good. Lucky, I guess. Until I wasn't. I thought I was doing what was best for my girl, and I believed that so much I ignored what was important, her wish that I stop.
She didn't care about the money or the status. She just wanted me.
He paused to offer a small laugh.
Gods, I'd give anything for a woman who just wanted me now.
What happened to her?
She is happily married, expecting her first child. It's strange to watch someone you love move on and assume a life that could have been yours.
Persephone hoped she would never have to do that. I am sorry, she said, and covered his hand with hers for a moment. He shrugged.
I thought I was protecting her.
He paused.
Maybe that's what Hades thought he was doing for you.
She had no doubt. I wish he would stop. I don't need protection.
Everyone needs protecting,
he said.
Life's hard.
Persephone frowned. She'd said something similar to Hades once when she'd argued with him about why it was important to forgive mortals. She'd never considered she required the same grace. After lunch, the day just got worse. Helen was dealing with an influx of angry phone calls, and Persephone's inbox continued to fill with hate mail. She couldn't escape the judgment, even in her text messages.
I can't believe you did it, Lexa texted.
She wasn't sure if that was her best friend expressing her excitement or her frustration. Have you talked to Sybil? Persephone asked.
No, I am betting she'll lay low. If she was still Apollo's oracle, you know she'd be dealing with this mess.
If she was still his oracle, he wouldn't be in this mess.
Girl, I meant you. You're the mess.
I just told the truth, so sue me.
I'm thinking Apollo will resort to more archaic means.
Lexa paused and then texted.
Has Hades said anything yet?
Nope. There had been no apology, no lecture, and her emotions were all over the place. She had never felt like this before, torn between anger, a desperate wish to be confronted by him, and fear of his disappointment. When Persephone left the Acropolis, Antony met her at the doors and walked her through the aggressive crowd. He waited until they were safely in the car to ask,
"Are you okay, my lady?"
She wasn't sure why, but the question made her eyes burn. All of a sudden, she was holding back tears. She would not cry over this. Not yet. Apollo wasn't worth her tears. She took a deep breath. Is he angry? She knew she didn't have to say Hades' name. Antony would know who she was talking about.
I haven't seen him, the ogre admitted. But I can imagine he won't be happy.
She knew that, which was why there was no way she was going to the underworld tonight. She was thankful that the ogre didn't elaborate or berate her for writing about Apollo. Most of the drive was spent in silence, except for when she asked Antony to stop so she could grab takeout before heading home. By the time she made it to the apartment, all she wanted to do was take a hot bath and go to sleep. She bid Antony goodnight and headed inside. Lexa had texted her to let her know she would be out with Jason. Sybil was sitting at the bar working on a resume, but when Persephone walked through the door, left her seat and folded her into her arms. Persephone dropped her purse and the takeout to the floor and hugged the oracle back. I'm sorry, Persephone said. I didn't listen to you. It's okay, Sybil said. I don't blame you for wanting to tell their stories. I just hate that no one believes you.
I know that's why you told me not to do it, Persephone said, and she smiled a little as she pulled away to look at Sybil.
Apollo might have taken away your powers, but your instincts are on point. She shrugged. I know how history treats women. Sybil picked up Persephone's purse and the food she'd brought, setting it on the counter. It's moussaka if you want some, Persephone said, nodding to the bag of food. I also got baklava because, you know, it's been a hard day. Sybil laughed softly. Of course. I think I'm going to take a bath. Sybil nodded. I'll be here if you want to talk. Thanks, Syl.
Persephone navigated to her bedside table in the dark, familiar with the layout of her room, and turned on the lamp. She stepped into the bathroom, removed her jewelry, and started the bathwater. As it was running, she moved back into her room and began to undress, when she noticed something shifting in the corner of her eye. She turned, startled by Hades' presence in her room. How had she not felt him? "Because he didn't want you to," she thought immediately.
"Please continue,"
he said, leaning casually against the wall in partial darkness. He looked at home, born of the shadow. His hands were in the pockets of his slacks, and he'd removed his jacket. The sleeves of his black shirt were rolled up, and the top two buttons undone, exposing his well-muscled forearms and chest. Her breath caught in her throat. Would she always think of how beautiful he looked every time she saw him? His burning eyes ran the length of her, and she suddenly remembered she was angry with him for so many things. She pulled her dress back up, and Hades offered an unamused laugh.
"Come now, darling. We are beyond that, are we not? I have seen every inch of you, touched every part of you."
She shivered, because no matter how angry she was with him, she couldn't help the thoughts that surfaced in her mind at his words. "That doesn't mean you will tonight," she said, and Hades scowled. "What are you doing here?"
"You were avoiding me," he said.
"I'm avoiding you," she scoffed. "It's a two-way street, Hades. You've been just as absent."
"I gave you space," he said,
and she rolled her eyes.
"Clearly, that was a bad idea."
"You know what you should have given me?" she said. "An apology." She headed into the bathroom. Hades wasn't going to keep her from her bath. Stripping down, she stepped into the water. It was almost too hot, stinging as she submerged herself. Normally, she would stretch out, but she felt oddly self-conscious and drew her knees to her chest. Hades followed, leaning against the counter, arms crossed over his chest, mouth tight.
"I told you I loved you."
"That's not an apology."
"Are you telling me those words mean nothing to you?"
She glared. "Actions, Hades. You weren't going to tell me about Laoce."
"If we are going to speak of actions, then let us speak of yours."
Despite the heat of the water, Persephone suddenly felt chilled.
"Did you not promise me you wouldn't write about Apollo?"
There was more to her actions. They'd been fueled by Sybil and Laoce and wine. But she couldn't say that because the results were the same. She'd broken her promise. "I had to do it."
"Had to?"
he interrupted.
"Were you offered an ultimatum?"
"Yes, I was offered an ultimatum, you idiot." She didn't respond and averted her eyes, glaring at the water. If she looked at Hades for too long, she would burst into tears. There was too much emotion building inside her.
"Were you threatened?"
Again, she was silent.
"Did any of it have anything to do with you?"
She hated the way his voice grated against her ears. She stood from her bath, water sloshing everywhere, and snatched a towel from the bar, holding it to her chest. "Sybil is my friend, and her life was ruined by Apollo. His behavior had to be exposed." Hades tilted his head to the side, his eyes flashing. He uncrossed his arms and stepped toward her. Persephone's heart raced as he leaned close.
"Do you know what I think?"
he whispered furiously. She wanted to take a step away. She didn't want to face what she'd done, how she'd retaliated against him.
"I think this is all a game to you. I pissed you off, so you wanted to piss me off, is that it? One for one. Now we're even."
"Not everything's about you, Hades." His hands clasped her waist, drawing her close.
"You promised me you wouldn't write about Apollo."
Persephone cringed.
"Is your word worth nothing?"
Those words stung. She swallowed something thick in her throat and glared at him through watery eyes. "Fuck you." Hades was ruthless. The bastard smiled.
I'd rather fuck you, darling, but if I did right now, you wouldn't walk for a week.
He snapped his fingers, and the world around her shifted. He'd teleported to the underworld. They were in the suite she used to get ready for the Ascension Ball. It was the suite Hades had built for his future queen. The fact that he'd brought her here and not to his own bedroom spoke volumes. She pushed away from him. Her towel was the only thing between them. "Did you just abduct me?"
"Yes," he answered,
already turning his back on her.
"Apollo will come after you, and the only way he will have an audience with you is if I am present."
"I can take care of this, Hades." She didn't know how, but she would. Dimitri had given her two options, apologizing or interviewing a recent victim. Those might be shit options, but maybe the other seven would be willing to talk to her. Hades shut her down.
"You can't and you won't."
Persephone lifted her chin, glaring at the King of the Dead. She attempted to teleport, but nothing happened. Her rage bubbled under the surface of her skin. "You can't keep me here." A carpet of vines spread from her feet toward Hades. He offered a dark laugh, and the corner of his mouth lifted in an arrogant smirk.
"Darling, you are in my realm. You're here until I say otherwise."
"Hades!" He kept walking, and she wanted him to hurt because she really didn't think he felt anything in this. That was when great black thorns burst from the tile floor, moving for Hades like venomous snakes. But the god of the underworld just waved his hand, and the thorns turned to ash. He'd done it so easily, so quickly. Which meant all those times she'd used her magic against him, he'd just let her. The reality of her weakness was harsh in the face of his indifference, and she suddenly felt unsteady on her feet. As he went to close the door behind him, she called out in a cracked voice, "You will regret this."
"I already do,"
he said, and there was a note to his voice that sounded like grief. Chapter 9, A Touch of Poison. Persephone sat up in bed, knees pulled to her chest, unable to sleep. She had so much to fix. The upper world raged against her, and Hades was hurt.
"Is your word worth nothing?"
She realized he'd said the words in anger, but they pierced her chest each time she recalled them, a blade slamming into the same incision. Did he really believe that? Had she lost his trust? She didn't know the time, but the darkness outside her windows seemed endless. Persephone rose from bed, pulled on her robe, and wandered outside into the garden. The stone path was cool against her bare feet, and the perfumed scent of flowers followed her as she walked. She paused now and then, touching velvet roses and weeping wisteria. She wasn't outside long when she suddenly felt as if she were being watched, and turned to see Hades outside his room. He stood, arms braced against the balcony. Even from this distance, she knew he tracked her every movement, her every breath. She hoped he was in agony. She hoped he ached for her. There were few places she could go in the underworld where there were no memories of time spent with Hades. Not long ago, he had chased her through this garden, pinned her against the wall, and made love to her. She hoped he was thinking about that now. She hoped he thought of how hot her mouth had been around his cock in the grove. She hoped he remembered how he'd praised her for tasting sweet as his mouth consumed her flesh. She hoped he thought of all these things while he slept alone in his cold bed. Part of her wanted him to come after her, materialize out of the darkness and consume her. But this time things were different. It wasn't that Hades was angry. Anger meant punishment, and that usually led to pleasure. Hurt meant time. It meant distance. She wrapped her arms tighter around herself and turned from him, continuing down the path farther into the garden. At some point, she returned to her room. She didn't remember falling asleep,
but the next thing she knew, she was roused by a knock at the door, and Hecate entered in sweeping crimson robes.
"Good morning, my sweet."
A nymph followed her into the room carrying a covered tray.
"I brought breakfast. Let's eat."
Persephone joined Hecate on the balcony. She had brought an array of fruit, breads, jams, and coffee. "Anything else, my lady?" the nymph asked.
No,
Persephone replied, and the nymph bowed, leaving them alone.
"It is a divine morning," Hecate said, taking a deep breath. "I thought we might practice early this morning."
"Did you know Laoce had returned?"
"Oh, no.